Hello, sports fans. Good evening, and thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Douglas Impuga, sitting in for Sunny Young.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin with football. African football is getting a boost as former English Premier League club managers Martin Joel and Alex McLeish launch Africa Champions League careers this weekend with Egyptian giants Al Ahly and Zamalek, respectively. Dutchman Joel has taken his Ahly side to Angola for a last 32 clash with Recreative Libolo on Saturday, while Scott McLeish has travelled with Zamalek to Cameroon for a Sunday showdown against Union Douala. The games are among the round of 32 first legs, with TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo starting a title defense at St. George of Ethiopia under new French coach Herbert Veloud. Under the 60-year-old former Tottenham Hotspur and Fulham boss Joel, Ahly are hunting a record-extending 9th Champions League title. Alex McLeish hopes to win silverware, while Ahly had a preliminary round by Libolo trounced Racing Victoria Guinea 9-1 on aggregate, with Senegalese Mamadou Diawara scoring 4 goals and Luis Luciano Silva 3. Joel has included 2 foreigners, strikers Malik Evouna of Gabon and John Antwi of Ghana, in a 20-man Red Devils squad. McLeish is reported to have said he's relishing the chance to win trophies at Zamalek after years of battling relegation in England with Birmingham City and neighbours Aston Villa. Zamalek lost their first domestic match under McLeish, but bounced back to beat Arab contractors in Cairo last weekend. Veloud, who has coached in Morocco and Algeria, replaced compatriot Patrice Cateron after Mazembe flopped at the 2015 FIFA Club World Cup in Japan, finishing second last.
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60, and please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm and we are calling from Imo State in Nigeria and wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
Because this is Africa. This time for Africa.
I'm very excited. Because
this is Africa. This time for Africa.
Yes, this is the Sunny Side of Sports. And now for more sports news, let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa, and join Daybreak Africa's Marco Ouma, who begins with football.
Morocco host Ghana in the Africa Women's FIFA Under-17 World Cup qualifier in Casablanca today, Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, Nigeria welcomes South Africa as Cameroon encounter Ethiopia. In rugby news, South Africa plays Scotland as Kenya face Portugal at the start of their campaigns at the IRB 7 series in Vancouver, Canada tomorrow, Saturday. Seeded in Group C, South Africa will also face Brazil and Argentina, while Kenya engage Samoa and Fiji in other Group C preliminaries. At the start of this seventh leg in the nine-leg series, South Africa are second in the overall standings with 86 points. Kenya is eighth with 52 points and Zimbabwe is 17th with 1 point. Turning to athletics, the Africa Cross Country Championship takes place in Yaounde, Cameroon tomorrow, Saturday. Athletes are vying for honors in senior men's 10 kilometers, senior women's 8 kilometers, junior men's 10 kilometers, and junior women's 6 kilometers. One of South Africa's emerging talents, Glenrose Kaba, makes her debut at this continental event. Earlier on, I caught up with her while she was in training and asked her what she hopes to achieve when she competes in the senior women's 8 kilometers in Yaounde.
My aim this year is to come top 20 in the African cross country and qualify for the Olympics.
In which event in the Olympics?
I'm looking for 5,000 because coach said I must try 5,000 to qualify.
That was Glenrose Kaba, South African cross-country runner, speaking in Johannesburg, South Africa. Meanwhile, the city of Tampere in Finland will stage the 2018 World Junior Athletics Championships, the World Athletics Governing Body, IAAF, revealed in Monaco on Thursday. The IAAF disclosed that the city of Valencia in Spain is venue for the 2018 World Half Marathon Championships, while the 2018 IAAF Continental Cup will be contested in Ostrava in the Czech Republic. And that's it. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. On the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
And we answered. The sunny side of sports is expanding our showtime on VOA Africa.
And in boxing, former world champion Floyd Mayweather has added Ugandan boxer Sharif the Lion Bogere to his Mayweather promotions. The former Ugandan boxing national team captain inked a deal with the promotions company on Thursday. Mayweather told the media that they are proud to add another young, hungry fighter to their Mayweather promotion stable, describing Sharif Bogere as a very talented young man with an incredible backstory. On his part, Bogere said the move is an important one to his career and that he's eager to get back in the ring and show everybody why he's the future champion. Leonard Elbe, the chief executive officer of the company, arguably one of the biggest boxing promotion companies in the world, also says they have another future world champion in the Ugandan fighter and promise to get him the best fights on the biggest stage. Bogere is one of Uganda's greatest exports in the sport, and his record stands at 28 fights with 27 wins, including 19 knockouts, and lost just once. The 27-year-old trains in Las Vegas with the legendary trainer Kenny Adams. He turned pro in 2008. We'll be right back.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington. Voice of America.
In many countries, preparations for the Rio 2016 Olympics are in full gear. But how is the host country coping as they gear up to host this major sports event? Luis Piazza has more from Rio. Hi, Luis.
Sport Olympic greetings, Douglas. The last 4.5 legs to go for the Olympics in Rio are already hacked enough indeed. August is just around the corner, and a lot of promised and needed implementations is still either halfway built or even just on paper. From light vehicles train to subway stations, water station and marina, to name just a few, that is still incomplete and to blame on delays a recycling loop. Contractors delay constructions, their contracts are concealed by the mayor, and until the actual project is reassigned to a brand new contractor, the delay comes back in the news. One same issue always in the picture is the budget for those projects and the decision-making involving high-profile bodies, the so-called organizing committee and the external governance, the late one being the Games Council, formed by the mayor of Rio, governor of Rio, being the head, the very president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, facing a risk of impeachment because of a public money used in her campaign while she was running for the presidency. As the worldwide breaking news last Friday was the former Brazilian President Lula taken in custody for questioning by police and his house raided as part of a major fraud inquiry into the state oil company Petrobras and other allegedly illicit acts, the contenders and commentators are asking how much it would add to all troubles the Olympic Games face to actually kick off. Until then, remain surfing around as the major issues, the pollution of the Guanabara Bay for sailing races. It will still filthy by August. All the experts agree publicly with that. Zika is not a lesser threat, to the contrary. And the mobility around the city of Rio, chaotic and dangerous, being the security one of the major concerns. So much that after the Australian committee publicly prohibited their athletes to walk anywhere near favelas, it became a volley of a verbal friction between officials from Brazil and Australia. On the sports side of Olympics, a good news came up in the last 2 days, when the IOC declared that a team made up exclusively of refugees is set to compete under the Olympic flag in Rio. Among 40 athletes, female and male, pre-selected, the International Olympic Committee says as many as 10 would get the go-ahead to take part at the Games as the team of refugee Olympic athletes, said the IOC president Thomas Bach. In contention are swimmers, runners, cyclists, judokas, like the Congoleses Popole Mizenga and Yolande Mabika, exiled in Brazil 3 years so far, currently living in a favela in Rio. I am Luis Piazza for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
In African football news, the 2016 CAF Champions League, the 52nd edition of Africa's Premier Club Football Tournament, is underway. For updates on these championships and much more, let's go to Johannesburg and join our football guru, David Legg, for an update. Exciting league so far, David.
That's right, Douglas. We had one outstanding preliminary round fixture. What happened is there was a strike at Niamey Airport, and that prevented Niger hosting a couple of club matches. And it was a very close call for Wydad Casablanca of Morocco. They were the champions way back in 1992, and they're a strong side, and they were certainly big favourites to get past AS Douanes of Niger. Now, Wydad won the first leg 2-0, but in the return match, they were trailing 2-0, and the match was heading for a penalty shootout when, in stoppage time at the end of the game, the Moroccans pulled one goal back. So a hard luck there for Douanes, winning the match 2-1, but being eliminated 3-2 on aggregate. So we can now look, Douglas, at an updated Champions League last 32 draw, and significantly now the big guns enter the competition. You've got V-Club of DR Congo against Ferroviario of Mozambique, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa against AC Leopards of Congo Brazzaville, Wari Wolves of Nigeria against Al Marek of Sudan, Etoile of Congo against Anton Satif of Algeria, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, they play Knats of Madagascar. St. George of Ethiopia play TP Mazembe of DR Congo, who are the defending champions. Enyimba of Nigeria play Vitalo of Burundi. Kouribga of Morocco play Etoile Sahel of Tunisia. Stade Malien of Mali play Cotton Spore of Cameroon. Zesco of Zambia are up against Horoya of Guinea. APR of Rwanda against Young Africans of Tanzania, spicy East African derby, that one. Lebolo of Angola against Al Ahly of Egypt. Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa face ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast. Al Ahly Tripoli of Libya play Al Hilal of Sudan. Union Douala of Cameroon are up against the Zamalek of Egypt. And Club Africain of Tunisia play Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria. Now, normally, Douglas, there's a two-week break between the first and second legs, but on this occasion, there's just a one-week break. What happens is that the first legs will be played this coming weekend, March 11, 12, and 13, and the return matches will be played the following weekend, March 18, 19, and 20. And just some statistics around that last 32 draw, there are 11 former champions in the field. Zambi are bidding to, for the third time, which would be a record for the CAF Champions League, successfully defend a title. They won it in 67 and 68 when it was known as the African Cup of Champion Clubs. They won it again in 2009 and 2010. And now, having won it in 2015, they're seeking yet another double by winning it again in 2016. At the moment, Mazembe share the title for doubles, so to speak, with Al Ahly, the great Egyptian club. They won it in 2005 and 2006, and again in 2012 and 2013. The most appearances, though, is not by Al Ahly. What we had, Douglas, recently on the Sunny Side of Sport was a quiz, and we posed the question, which club has entered the CAF Champions League on the most occasions, and most people plumbed for Al Ahly, who have entered it 27 times. But the record, in fact, is held with 29 appearances by Al Hilal of Sudan. And in third place are ASEC Mimosas of the Ivory Coast. They've made 25 appearances. There's only one club making their debut this year who are in the last 32 round of the competition, and that's Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria, not to be confused with a team that competed in the competition a few years ago, also from Bejaia. They were JSM Bejaia, a different club.
I see. It's a tight schedule in these competitions between the return legs. Any particular reason, David?
I think it's just it's a situation that CAF have to, you know, condense the fixtures, Douglas, because they've got two rounds of the African Cup of Nations coming up at the end of the month. And I know you're going to be very interested in that because you've got the top two sides in each group as far as the seeding goes clashing against each other. In your case, I know you'll be watching Uganda very carefully. They're going to come up against Burkina Faso, matches in both Ouagadougou and in Kampala. So that is the reason. It seems to work quite well, Douglas. I was very concerned at first when they had fixtures on successive weekends because you know and I know that sometimes you can have logistical problems in Africa moving around. It's not quite as easy as some of the other continents. You can't just hop from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to go a rather roundabout way. I mean, it's always fascinated me that when South African team Orlando Pirates last year were competing in the CAF Confederation Cup and doing very well, when they played in North Africa, they didn't just go up the east coast of Africa, as I think most of us would have assumed. What they did is they flew right across into Dubai, in the heart of the Middle East, and then went from Dubai to Tunis or to Cairo or wherever. So an illustration there of the challenges of travel. But it must be said in favor of the clubs and in favor of CAF as well. Good organization, because everything seems to work out okay.
I see. David, now how about the Club Confederation Cup?
Right. We move now, Douglas, to the second-tier competition, which is the CAF Confederation Cup. And an identical problem, this time for Al Ittihad of Libya. They couldn't travel to Niger last week because of the strike at Niamey Airport. 3-2-1. So they were a bit late in playing their return match against Sonadep. And the Libyans got quite a fright. They were leading 4-1 from the first leg, and they scored again after just 3 minutes of the return match. So now they were 1-0 ahead on the day and 5-1 ahead on aggregate. But Sonadep came back with a bang in the closing stages, scored 3 goals to win the match 3-1. But unfortunately for the Nigerians, they went out 5-4 on aggregate. Now, Douglas, let's look at the draw for the last 32 stage of the CAF Confederation Cup. It's V-Club Makanda of Congo-Brazzaville against Police of Rwanda, Esperanca Sagrada of Angola against Desportivo Maputo of Mozambique, Maludia Oran of Algeria against Gag Noah of Ivory Coast, Kwakab Marrakesh of Morocco against Barak Young Controllers 2 of Liberia. I love the name of that club. Bits of South Africa against Azam of Tanzania, Renaissance of Chad against Esperance of Tunisia, Harare City of Zimbabwe against Zanaco of Zambia, Stade Gabessien of Tunisia against Kaloum of Guinea, Nasarawa United of Nigeria against CS Constantine of Algeria, Al Makawash of Egypt against Don Bosco of DR Congo, Lupopo of DR Congo against Al Ahly Shendi of Sudan, Ittihad of Libya against Mediama of Ghana, Loom of Cameroon against Fuz of Morocco, Villa of Uganda against JKU of Zanzibar, Atletico Olympic of Burundi against Munana of Gabon, and last but certainly not least, a really spicy one here, Africa Sports of Ivory Coast against ENPPI of Egypt. Again, Douglas, the first legs March 11, 12, 13. Return matches March 18, 19, and 20. Now, we've got some very sharp listeners on the Voice of America, and they will realize that last week on the show, I said Loom of Cameroon had been eliminated. They did, in fact, lose a penalty shootout against Deportivo Mongomo of Equatorial Guinea. So what's happened since, Douglas, is it has been discovered that Mongomo fielded an ineligible player. So they were disqualified, and UMS Loom of Cameroon are back in the competition. And they will, interestingly, play the only former champions of the CAF Confederation Cup in this field, and that is FUS Rabat of Morocco.
Look at them. David, Africans in the European leagues seem to have done very well recently. Why don't you start with the English Premier League?
Yeah, good point, Douglas. Last week, we were bemoaning the fact that no Africans scored in the English Premier League. So they obviously listened into the show and they decided to show us what they were capable of. Because we had a string of African goals in the EPL. Well done to all our players playing in the, certainly, maybe not the top league in the world. I think you could argue that's the La Liga in Spain. But it is definitely the most watched league in the world. It's got an amazing worldwide interest. And Riyad Mahrez, the Algerian, who's been in outstanding form for the shock EPL league leaders, Leicester City, he scored the only goal for the Foxes, as they're known. And that gave them a 1-0 victory away to Watford. And what it did, Douglas, is it extended Leicester's lead over second place Tottenham Hotspur to 5 points. There are 9 rounds left, and I think it's safe to say that if Leicester City can stay on top and pull off this title, it will be undoubtedly the most sensational finish to an EPL. For so many years now, English football has been dominated by the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester City, even my own favourite club, Liverpool. They faded a bit in the last decade or so, but they were always up there. But Leicester City, they were a team that you always looked on as one that was going to fight to avoid relegation. So it's a truly amazing story. And one of the real stars of that team this year has been Riyad Mahrez. West Africans were also in outstanding form. A name to watch out for is young Bertrand Traore. He's from Burkina Faso. He plays for Chelsea. He scored against Stoke City in a 1-1 draw. And that was his 4th goal in 5 appearances for Chelsea. So well done to him. Senegalese were also in top form. Mama Biram Diouf of Stoke City, formerly of Manchester United. He scored the equaliser for Stoke at Chelsea. Diafra Sakho, another Senegalese, he plays for West Ham United. He scored one of the goals in the comeback at the weekend. West Ham United, who are now 5th on the table and challenging for a Champions League place, they were trailing Everton at Goodison Park by 2 goals, but stormed back to win the match by 3-2. Yaya Toure, 4-time African Footballer of the Year, runner-up this time round to Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He was on target, the first of 4 goals for City in a 4-0 victory over Aston Villa. Aston Villa, club with a great tradition, but sadly they seem to be doomed at the bottom of the table, and they're heading for the Championship, which is the second tier of English football. There were also, Douglas, some African goals in Spain. The Senegalese midfielder Alfred Ndiaye scored for Real Betis in a vital 2-0 victory over Granada. But bad news for all our Cameroon listeners. Their star goalkeeper, Carlos Kameni, who plays for Malaga, he was injured in a 3-3 draw against Deportivo La Coruña, and the prognosis is not good. It seems as if he will be out of action with a knee injury for at least 2 months, and that means he's going to miss later this month 2 vital games for Cameroon, home and away against South Africa in Group M. Those games effectively are going to be the title deciders for that particular group. And at the moment, Cameroon are really sitting pretty. They've got 6 points, and the South African Bafana Bafana have only got 1. Normally, when we talk about Germany, Douglas, we talk about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, and we talk about goals, but not this week. Borussia Dortmund, his club, played against Bayern Munich in a top-of-the-table clash. It ended goalless, and that means that Robert Lewandowski of Bayern Munich is still top of the German scorers list with 23 goals, but breathing down his neck, hot on his heels, is Aubameyang with 22 goals. And Aubameyang this year, ending that great run of Yaya Toure by snatching the 2015 African Footballer of the Year title. Douglas?
Yes, David, it seems the African players in Europe are making their mark.
They are. I mean, they're doing really well. I was shocked last week, Douglas. No African goals at all in the EPL, because to me, that's one of the highlights of the weekend. I go through the fixtures, then I go through the results and the scorers, and the first thing I look out for is how many Africans have scored. Another player I should mention, actually, is the Egyptian Mohamed Salah. Now, he's officially with Chelsea, but he's been on loan to several clubs, and the most recent of those is Roma in Italy. And he bagged another brace as Roma trashed Fiorentina 4-1. So Salah, among the strikers who are in outstanding form. But the real find of the season, Douglas, to me, is this Riyad Mahrez. You know, the story goes that Leicester City actually went to France to watch a match in which Mahrez was involved, but they didn't go to see Mahrez at all. They went to see another player, but it was the Algerian who caught the eye of the spies from the Foxes in the English Midlands. Mahrez moves to England for a very small fee by modern standards. And now, this season, playing on the right wing, he's not a central striker at all. He's actually a winger, technically a midfield player. He has scored 15 goals for Leicester City. It's a fairy tale beyond belief, this. Leicester City perennial strugglers at the top of the table, looking down on the likes of Tottenham, Arsenal. I mean, Manchester United, the great Manchester United, are 13 points behind Leicester with 9 rounds to go.
That was our football guru, David Legg. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Douglas Simpoga. Sunny Young will be back next week. Have a great weekend.